In Roman military structure, a centurion was a middle rank officer, had command over 100 men. And in the context of the military garrison of a small town like Capernaum, he would have been the highest ranking Roman official in town. And our gospel reading today tells the story of faith appearing in unusual places. A powerful Roman centurion is powerless in the face of illness. He turns to Jesus, the healer, for help in an arena over which he has no power. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He's worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it's he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now we have Psalm 96. A responsive psalm, and it has a refrain, and the choir will sing it for you. You can try it too if you like. Sing. Sing to God a new song.
Sing to your face all the earth.
Sing and bless God's holy name. Tell the glad news of salvation from day to day.
Declare God's glory among the nations, among all the peoples, God's wonderful works.
For great is God and greatly to be praised, to be revered above all the gods. Honor and majesty attend you.
Strength and beauty are in your sanctuary.
Sing song unto God, who has done marvelous things.
Ascribe to God, you families of peoples, ascribe to God glory and strength. Worship God in the beauty of holiness, and let the whole earth stand in awe.
Say among the nations, it is God who reigns.
The world is made firm and cannot be shaken.
God judges the peoples in iniquity.
Sing a new song unto God, who has done marvelous things.
Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult and all that is in them.
Then let all the trees of the forest sing for joy, for you come, O God, to judge the earth.
You shall judge the earth in righteousness, its peoples with your truth.
Will you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, and the actions of our lives be be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, one flame that burned a lot this week, a flame, a prayer that rose from the midst of this community this week. It's a prayer flame for Ryan Fedeli. Ryan grew up in this church and sang in the children's choir, and this week we took a candle and we lit it and put it on the communion table, and it sat here for much of the week because Ryan struggled this week, got sick and ended up in hospital and was seriously ill. And so we got calls. We became a community of prayer. And so to hear later on in the week that things are going better for Ryan was such good news, such relief. And we are so grateful. And with the lighting of that candle, the lighting of each of these flames, the lighting of any flames, and the offering of any prayers for healing, we enter into the question of healing and prayer, and it just so happens that that question is brought before us in Scripture today. What is the relationship between healing and prayer? What are we doing when we come before God, as we did this week, and pray for healing? I have no intention of unraveling the mysteries of these questions in any comprehensive way in the short time that we have today. These are big questions. There is a great mystery in these questions that, well, frankly, I'm not completely sure I'm going to unravel that mystery in my entire lifetime, let alone in one small sermon time. However, it is a question worth pondering, because it is often the place where our theology, what we believe, takes its one of its most practical applications. What do we pray? How do we pray? It's what the disciples asked Jesus. Teach us to pray. Things get down to earth when we ask the question of prayer. What we pray and how we pray is where the rubber hits the road often in our faith. If you want to know what someone believes, three questions. Ask about their pocketbook, ask about how they spend their time, and ask them what they pray. That's when you find out. And you could ask the same thing of yourself. How do I spend my money? How do I spend my time? And what is the content and type of my prayer? That will tell you. That will give you a really good picture of what you believe. Well, we're going to look at that last piece for a few moments. The people who came to Jesus figured that they were the ones who had this mystery of prayer and healing sorted out. The local Roman centurion wanted Jesus, the healer, to come and heal one of his key staff people. And the Jewish establishment knew this guy pretty well. He'd been good to them. He'd built the town hall. He was a good community person. They knew him. Surely if anyone deserves the spiritual goods that Jesus has to offer, it would be this guy. So the people frame their question of healing and prayer in terms of whether or not he's earned it. Whether you deserve it. But even before they get to the centurion's place, word is brought to Jesus. This commander of the local garrison, used to making things happen just by saying the word, used to getting things done just by command, is stuck. He's powerless in this realm of healing. And does not he see himself as worthy of a house call from Jesus? So the people frame this question of prayer and healing in terms of whether this guy's earned it. He's framing it as in terms of whether or not he's worthy of it, whether he's not whether he's the kind of person that ought to have a healer like Jesus pay him any heed at all. But the thing that really catches Jesus' attention is his humble trust. I'm over my head, but I believe you're not. Help me. And that acknowledgement and trust is the piece that Jesus finds most moving. So, as we puzzle through this mysterious realm of prayer and healing, this story tells me, anyway, that it's not about deserving it. It's not about being worthy about it. This story doesn't points away from those two areas deliberately. This story points to that familiar place where there is a gap in power between what we feel able to cope with and what is needed. That's where the centurion was at. I'm over my head. This guy and everyone around him were over their heads. That's familiar territory for us, right? Really familiar territory. And in this and so many other stories of healing, it would appear that recognizing we're over our head is the first step. A humility is where to start. And it's what matters. There's no room in these situations for arrogance or demanding. Kneeling is the appropriate posture for this particular topic. The question of healing is particularly challenging today, was more commonplace in conversation in Jesus' time, but today, in the 21st century, Western people anyway, who live in a society used to making it on our own cleverness, find this to be a particularly difficult question. I mean, back in Jesus' time, and actually right up until a couple of hundred years ago, there was so much more about our physical health that was mysterious. But modern medicine has pushed that mystery to the margins. That's what it feels like, anyway. People used to be at a loss to know what to do much sooner in the process than we find ourselves in now. Whereas people used to pray pretty much at the first sniffle and cough, we wash our hands more regularly and reach for the antibiotics at that point in the process. So we often only pray when we come across a gap in our own ability to command the universe and watch it obey. But when the universe stops obeying, then we confront mystery and we turn to God in prayer. but only typically in the 21st century, only after we've exhausted all other options. And I understand that. And it makes no sense to ignore good hygiene and wonder why God would let an infection happen. We gotta use the gifts we're given, the ingenuity, the cleverness. It's there for us to use. We do know things about health and healing, but God is not confined to the places where our knowledge runs out. God does not conform to and stay within the box that we create by our willingness to acknowledge the mystery behind it all. The things we think we have figured out and the things that remain beyond us. And as long as God takes care of the stuff that's beyond us, we're fine. We can take care of the stuff that we think we understand. But God is the God of all of it. And we tend to acknowledge God only as a last resort. We're like the maturing teen, wanting independence, wanting to do it ourselves. Go away. And God, like the wise parents, knows more than we think, is more present than we know about, has good parental connection with everything. Mom, how did you know about that? Connections. Is more present than we know, is ever close but incognito, watchful, patient, loving. God will be God, regardless of our theology. As the United Church Song of Faith put it back in 2006, holy mystery, beyond complete knowledge, above perfect description, yet in love seeks relationship. God will be God, unconfined by us, mystery behind and beneath all things. And so, whether we practically relegate God to the gaps, God's beyond that. And yet still, we turn to God when we are up against it, when we in need of healing, deliverance, forgiveness, whatever we need, we find ourselves up against the gap, up against the thing that we really don't understand. And the wise among us don't wait for the desperation to get too bad, but make a habit of turning to God, gap or no gap. The wise among us look for God in medicine, not just outside of it. The wise among us hold the doctors, nurses, and all the rest of that system in prayer all the time, recognizing God's presence and activity in it all. I'll never forget. I think I might have even showed you the picture when I was in Guatemala in a church hospital, or next door to a church hospital. There was the church, Hermano Pedro Hospital and Church, and they do these big murals, and there's this one big mural of their life, farming and all kinds of stuff. And there's one in the hospital, and there in the operating room there's the whole scene that you would recognize, gowned and masked and all that. And there's another one, gowned and masked, with a halo, a familiar Central American halo, and a hand on the hand of the surgeon who's doing the thing. Yes. Jesus, right in the middle of the healing that's happening through the medical system, in the gaps and in the places we're just working with what we know. Unfortunately, we're not always as wise as that. And we do turn to God with our desperate longing for healing later in the process than that. And I find great assurance in Jesus' words that God's desire for our healing is not about whether or not we deserve it, not about whether we're worthy in someone's eyes. But the mystery of God meets us and bears down on the places in life where our longing is genuine and where our trust is open. These two things, longing and trust, they're present in that story, in this heart of the centurion. They're present in our week this week. They're present in our lives, where healing is at issue. Longing and trust come together. Common elements where we find ourselves, where the centurion found himself, where we find ourselves so often. Longing for healing, in humble trust in the face of the mystery of life, which is all of life. I don't have it all figured out. I don't know why sometimes things take a turn for the better and at other times they take a turn for the worse. But I do believe that when we bring our genuine, sometimes desperate longing to God in prayer, and when we trust in the mystery that is God to meet us there, that somehow there are resources. Perhaps resources that we never knew existed. Spiritual resources of strength and courage, of community. Spiritual resources of hope and healing. More than we ever could have imagined, even putting our cleverest minds at work. And in the midst of that coming together of deep longing and deep trust, we meet the divine, and the Spirit is alive. May we find ourselves there in all genuineness. And may the Spirit meet us there. Amen.